You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 20th of October 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we can continue on from yesterday's podcast today with the first two little bits of news stories that I've got for us. The first one actually comes from 2015, and this was at the time when the Charlie Hebdo offices were attacked by Muslim extremists, and they shot up the Charlie Hebdo offices. And in Britain, there was a poll taken. Some 27% of British Muslims sympathised with the Paris gunmen, with more than 1 in 10 saying that the satirical cartoonists deserved to be attacked, according to a 2015 poll. And that was taken from the Telegraph newspaper. It was a Daily Telegraph poll that they did. So this tends to say that this minority that is within Islam that approves of these attacks, carries out these attacks, it is quite a sizable minority, isn't it? If 10% of them say that the cartoonists deserve to be attacked, and a quarter of them sympathise with the gunmen and not the cartoonists, that shows that we have a serious, serious problem here. We have a large portion of the country that approves of terrorism. And yet all we read about is what a threat the far right are and what a threat far right terrorism is. Yet we don't see nationalists pledging support for violence. We see nationalists condemning violence and terrorism. I wonder if those figures would still be the same today. I should imagine they probably are. You might say that beheading is more barbaric than shooting. But I don't think it really matters to these people that support this. They just support people being punished for blasphemy. And that's about it. We also have some quotes from Donald Trump in response to this attack. President Trump warned that a nation without borders is not a nation, as he extended his sincere condolences to France over the vicious, vicious Islamic terrorist attack, which saw an educator publicly beheaded for showing images of the Islamic prophet during lessons on freedom of expression. Immigration security is national security. Remember that, President Trump told supporters at a rally in Janesville, Wisconsin, over the weekend. We have to have borders. A nation without borders is not a nation, he said, echoing one of the more famous aphorisms attributed to the late President Ronald Reagan. Think about that. Think about what is going on in Europe and in Britain at the moment. We're told we have borders, but there's nobody on the borders sending people back, preventing people from coming in. In actual fact, we have our lifeboats going out to pick up people trying to invade the country from France, fake asylum seekers, and they're picked up and our lifeboats provide a taxi service for them. And what are our Navy doing? Are our Navy on the borders, defending our borders? No, the Navy is patrolling around on the other side of the world. Where are our Army? Our Army are in Afghanistan, when they should be defending the borders of our nation. And they should be protecting us, not protecting others. And again, as I suggested, the people that are at fault here are the government. We have the mechanisms to deal with these problems, but we don't use them. France, a member of the European Union borderless Schengen area, once described as effectively an international passport-free zone for terrorists, by the former Interpol chief Robert Noble, is home to hundreds of thousands, possibly millions, of illegal migrants and asylum seekers, many of them currently massed on the country's northern coast, awaiting opportunities to cross the English Channel to the United Kingdom in small boats. Thousands of migrants and their supporters rallied openly on the streets of the French capital just a day after Samuel Paty's beheading, demanding that the government regularise their presence through some form of amnesty. So they managed to break in through the borders of France. They're just waiting there on the border with England, just waiting for a chance to get picked up by the lifeboats. They even get chaperoned by the French Navy. And if you think about the recent terrorist attacks that we've had in Britain, we had one in Glasgow that was a fake asylum seeker that didn't like the food or the wireless or whatever it was that he had at the hotel. Before that, we had another stabbing of white people at a Black Lives Matter protest after a Black Lives Matter protest. I believe that was also one of these fake refugees. The guy that did the bombing, the Manchester bombing, he was a refugee. He came from a family of refugees. Whether he was a direct refugee or not, I don't know, but he came from a family of Libyan refugees. So to say that, well, we need to be allowing these people into our countries, we need to be giving them shelter. The minute some of these people that you give shelter to start attacking us, we have to stop this. We have to close the borders. And yet our government doesn't do that. Our government claims to feel terribly, terribly sorry about this, and then tells us that these people that carry out these attacks are doing so because they don't like diversity. When, as I pointed out yesterday, they would not be able to carry out their attacks if it wasn't for the diversity. The target of what they want to do is kill the infidel. They don't want to prevent the infidel from living amongst the Christians or living amongst the whites. That's not their aim. Well, getting into some other news now, the number of white male secondary school teachers has fallen by almost 20% in the last decade, sparking fears over a lack of role models for working class boys. Now, this is something that's been deliberately done. I can recall doing a podcast a year or two back where they were saying that they needed to get in thousands of black teachers, basically, because we didn't have enough black teachers. And if you're going to bring in lots of black teachers, obviously they're going to be replacing the white teachers that are there rather than actually expanding the whole number of teachers. I don't think they're building many new schools. We only have the same amount of schools. What they do is they increase the classroom sizes and keep the same number of teachers. So the result of this drive to improve diversity in the school system and get more black teachers in has resulted in white male teachers just giving up, being replaced. Whether they're applying for these jobs and they're not being given them, or whether they are becoming disillusioned with how anti-male the education system is now, we don't know. I'm sure we will probably hear over the next few months the reason for this. Education experts warn that disadvantaged white boys could fall further behind as a result of the worrying trend, because they don't have any role models there, do they? If there's no white male teachers at their school to inspire them, we are told by the black advocates that black children have to have black teachers there, because how else can they relate to the teacher? How else can they feel inspired? And it's the same for the white pupils. How are they going to feel inspired if they have a black teacher? Segregated schools is a much better idea than having multicultural ones. Research from the Education Policy Institute shows that the teacher workforce is becoming increasingly female-dominated. So we've got more women there. Now, I would suggest that women are probably better at primary school teaching, much better at primary school teaching. But when you have specialist teaching, then obviously you are going to, like in the sciences, where we don't really have that many women, the males are going to be better at doing it than the females, because the females are going to be more more socially minded, more emotionally minded. The males are going to be more logically minded and better at problem solving. This is what males do. We solve problems, and females nurture. And plus, we've also got all this anti-male hatred that is being taught in the classrooms about how women have always been oppressed by men, never mind the fact that women have always had everything provided for them by men. They haven't been oppressed. But that's another matter. The proportion of men teaching in secondary schools has fallen every year since 2010, hitting its lowest level in 2019, when only 35% of teachers were male. Only one third of the teachers now are male. Numbers in primary schools remain low at 14%. The EPI analysis reveals that the number of white male teachers in secondary schools has plummeted by more than 12,800 since 2010, a fall of 17%. But the number of men from black and minority ethnic backgrounds teaching in secondary schools has risen from 10,000 in 2010 to 13,000 last year, an increase of 34%. And don't forget, of course, men from black and minority ethnic backgrounds are going to have a much lower average IQ than men from white backgrounds. So the standard of the teaching is going to be less as well. You could quite conceivably have black male teachers there with lower IQs than the working class white students that they are supposed to be teaching. This is, of course, going to irritate the black teachers, and it's also going to irritate the white pupils. The white pupils are not going to be challenged to the extent that they should be, and the black teachers are going to feel that they're being given cheek by these white students. It's not a good situation to have, not a good situation to be in, and it's all been deliberately done. They have called for more black and minority ethnic teachers, and that's the reason for this. Joshua Fullard, senior researcher at EPI, said yesterday, "The decline in the number of white male teachers is concerning in areas where there is a prevalence of underperforming white working class boys." So that's probably in the inner cities, in the multicultural areas where these white working class boys, their parents can't actually get out from that area, and they're stuck in a multicultural school, and all the programs, all the scholarships, all the grants are all directed towards non-whites, and there is nothing directed at these white working class boys. And now they don't even have teachers that they can sympathize with. They don't even have teachers that they can look up to. They're being told, well, you have to look up to this person who says that you oppressed him, who says that you turned him into a slave. And, you know, it's a terrible situation for these children to be in. Professor Alan Smithers of the Centre for Education and Employment Research at Buckingham University said the drop in white male teachers was worrying. He added, "In striving for equality, the white working class, particularly boys, are a neglected group." That's because equality isn't really about equality, and diversity isn't really about diversity. It's all about just replacing whites. It's all about taking from white people to give to non-white people. It's not about equality at all. If it was about equality, we would have a system that was based entirely upon merit. We would have a system that guaranteed freedom of speech and freedom of association, so you would be free to associate with white people. You would be able to specify that you wanted to associate with white people. And it's only blacks that can specify that they want to be working with blacks and Jews and ethnic minorities. They're all allowed to have their advocacy groups specifically for them. The Jewish Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, the Black Lawyers Association, Black Doctors Association. In America, you've got the Black Caucus. You've got all these different organizations that advocate for their own people. So the ethnic minorities are allowed freedom of association. White people are not allowed freedom of association. You try setting up a white student union, for instance, and just see all the opprobrium that will be heaped upon your head. I mean, that was tried in America a few years back, so we know exactly what happens when you do that. It's been tried a few times. We don't have freedom of association. We don't have freedom of speech. But seemingly, these other groups do. And this is all done under this disguise of it being equality. And it's not equality. The only way to have equality is to have a system based entirely upon merit, where everybody is free to associate with whoever they wish to associate. We did have an equal society. We had a very equal society before we decided to start importing people that were not equal to us, people that were entirely different races, different nations, different religions. You can't say they're all the same. They're not. They were completely different from us. When we had all white people in Britain, then we did have a certain sense of equality. We were all equal under the law. Now we are not equal under the law. There are certain groups in society that are worth more than other groups. And they can claim that a crime was inspired by racial hatred, and the person that carried out the crime is going to get twice the prison sentence than if it had been an ethnic minority that had carried out exactly the same crime. So we have a two-tier system, and it's all been brought in under this disguise of being equality. Now they're pushing for equity, which isn't equality. It's equality of outcome. It means that people that haven't actually studied hard enough or haven't worked hard enough get the same rewards as those that have. And that's what they're pushing for now, you'll notice. It's no longer equality, it's equity. The final news story that I've got here concerns the statues that the left have been trying to pull down. An official review of statues in Leeds, England, concluded that they over-celebrated empire, Christianity, and great white men, and should be changed through the use of new public-facing plaques, putting them into a different context. How can you over-celebrate the British Empire when this country is Britain? How can you over-celebrate Christianity when this is a Christian country? It was a part of Christendom. In actual fact, Britain was the first place that Christianity came to. It came to Britain in something like 37 AD, and then it went back to Rome in 56 AD with Caractacus. And the British church was the first church that was started in Rome. And Britain was the first nation to pronounce itself Christian in about 170 AD when King Lucius did this. Britain's Christian history is the longest Christian history in the whole of Europe. So how can we over celebrate that? How can we over celebrate our great white men? Britain has always been white. The British people are a white people. British citizens may not necessarily be white, but the British people are most definitely white, and they always have been. Why do we need to have new public-facing plaques putting these people into a different context just to please people that have only been here for the last 70 years? If you have a character from 200 years ago or 300 years ago that is on a statue of them, say, is made, and you have a plaque there telling them what they have done, then it should be seen in the way that that person was seen 300 years ago. If you have a statue of somebody that lived in the last 70 years, then you could make the argument that the newcomers, these new British citizens that don't actually look like the historic British people, you could make an argument that they could have a say in how this person was seen on the plaque, but certainly not people that we are celebrating that come from centuries before these newcomers have even arrived. And when you put up these statues, it is because you want to celebrate them. You are looking for the very best in that person so that they can be lionized for the great things that they did. You don't put statues up for people for the bad things that they did. And you don't put the bad things that they did on there because you need people to look up to. We want people to realize that they can be virtuous. They can be good people. They don't need to see flawed people in the past and think, oh, well, that's okay. It's okay if I have a few flaws and if I do a few bad things. No, we don't want that. We want to encourage people to be virtuous and to be the best people that they can. It's like Hollywood when it pushes this idea of the flawed hero, and it will have some drug-taking, womanizing hero rather than having somebody who is clean cut and doesn't take drugs and doesn't womanize as the hero in the film. It's like when they say, well, we need to have more down-to-earth politicians, so it's good that this politician has a history of taking drugs in his youth, say. Well, no, we want the very best people to be leading us, and we want to lionize the very best people. And in the past, 300 years ago, it was a completely different place with completely different sensibilities. And the people back then were far more moral than today's people. You could say, well, they may have supported slavery. Well, that was just the institution at the time. That was just a system of employment that they had at the time. As was pointed out last week on Truthful Out Radio, the instances of bad behavior in slavery is just a minority of instances. You get bad behavior in employment today. You get bad bosses. You have tribunals against bad bosses. And it was the same thing with slavery. Leeds was the site of one of the more dramatic statue vandalizations in Britain as Black Lives Matter unrest swept the country, with an impressive monument to Queen Victoria being defaced with the BLM slogans and pejoratives, including racist, whore, slag, and slave owner, wholly inaccurately, as the British had abolished the slave trade decades prior to her coronation and spent much of her reign stamping it out globally, at great cost. So what does this show? This shows that it's just hatred against white people. They don't care who the statue is of. They are going to just call them slave owner and racist anyway, just simply because they are white. The local government responded by announcing a review, targeting such British icons as the Duke of Wellington, hero of Waterloo, Sir Robert Peel, founder of the police, and the Black Prince, a medieval royal with no connection to the slave trade or colonialism. Again, this just shows that they just hate white people. They just want to get rid of white people. They will begin with the statues, and eventually they will move on to the flesh and blood white people, the same as they did in South Africa and in Haiti. The review, led by Labour politician Alison Lowe, had to conclude that Leeds did not commemorate any major players in the former slave trade, according to the Yorkshire Evening Post, but nevertheless found a way to taint them as what the newspaper called beneficiaries of hereditary wealth and colonialism. Do you know what? The whole of Africa is a beneficiary of hereditary wealth and colonialism. All those African chiefs that were selling those African slaves were all paid for those slaves. And they didn't actually purchase the slaves themselves, did they? They won them in war, or they won them because they were in debt. And in some instances, the African chiefs went out hunting other Africans. So they didn't even actually have to pay anything out in the first place for their product. And then they sold that product to the white slave merchants who paid for it. So where did all that wealth go? You cannot say that Britain and white people were the only beneficiaries of the wealth that came from slavery. Africa made untold wealth from it. And where's it gone? Why didn't they have any philanthropic African chiefs that built universities and built all these things that we have? They had the white traders there. They had the opportunity to use that wealth that they made from the slaves to get white people to build things for them, the same structures and institutions that we have here in Britain. But they didn't want that, did they? They didn't want that. They wanted something else. They wanted to just keep the money for themselves, these African chiefs did. They didn't really have any philanthropic types like we had in Britain, philanthropic types that built Bristol, built large parts of London, and left these great endowments to hospitals and orphanages and various other things. We had some amazing philanthropists in the past who had made a lot of money from investing in trade, and they gave it all back to their people, and they should be honoured for that, not told that they were nasty slavers for doing this. I mean, we didn't go to Africa saying, enslave your people and give them to us. We got to Africa and the African chief said, we would like to purchase what you have. We have these slaves in exchange. That is, all we have is these slaves and ivory. and we took the slaves, and they had a much better life in America working on the farms than they did in Africa. We have proof of that. We have proof of them saying that. None of the statues will be removed, however, as a public consultation found that just 10% of people wanted any change. And remember, 14% of the country is non-white. And I dare say that 10% of the people that wanted to see change were probably non-white, newcomers. I was surprised there were so few people wanted any change. Only 10% wanted some active change. I know thousands did not respond, but we had to take it that they were happy with the status quo, Lowe told the YEP, perhaps more perturbed than she appeared to let on. Well, this is because if you believe what was on the television, you would think that the whole country was clamouring to pull down the statues of Winston Churchill and deface statues of Queen Victoria. If you listen to Sadiq Khan, I mean, we don't want any statues of white people left in London anymore. They all have to be pulled down and replaced with the new non-white population of London, regardless of the fact that the new non-white population of London did nothing to make London into what it is. London has been there for 2,000 years, don't forget. And 70 years is about 3%, I think, of 2,000 years. So about, if all the population of London, all the non-white population of London, they had just done nothing but build London, you could say that they were responsible for 3% of how London is today. And yet Khan wants to replace just about everything, anything that has a link to the slave trade. And don't forget, the whole world has a link to the slave trade. He wants to pull it down and replace it with images and representations of the newcomers. This is what conquerors do, isn't it? They replace the images of the original people with the images of themselves. It is somewhat surprising, therefore, that the review will recommend the statues are changed with new plaques, putting them in a modern context regardless. So despite the fact that 90% of the people questioned said, no, leave these things alone, this commission in Leeds is going to change the plaques anyway. For black people, we live in a world where white voices and white faces and white names predominate. We don't like it, Lowe insisted. Well, you're living in Britain, aren't you? And the British majority is white. Britain has been white for thousands of years. It's the majority privilege is what it really is. It's not white privilege, it's majority privilege. It's the people that built the country and built these statues. They built representations of themselves. They weren't going to start making representations of people on the other side of the world, were they? And if he doesn't like it, he can always go to Africa, where he will see all representations of himself, won't he? They seem to forget that they've only been here for the last 70 years. She continues, but there is too much for us to spend our lives looking back saying, why is it like that? What happened is people were much more interested in looking forward. What is important is that we don't allow stories of the past to stay stories that are untested and unchallenged. We recognise the contribution of immigrants and migrants. Leeds is built on the back of lots of people who don't get a say in power and are not acknowledged, she claimed. The problem is that they get to have a go at our history and they get given a mouthpiece on the BBC and everywhere else where they attack these people, and they never put anybody on there that questions it. They never put anybody on there that points out that in actual fact, slavery was an institution that existed throughout the entire world. White people were slaves and that the Africans themselves benefited from this. Nobody points that out. They just get allowed to speak their hatred against white people completely unchallenged. That's the problem. Yes, allow these people to have a voice, but allow others to challenge them. And of course, if you challenge them, you'll be accused of being racist or white supremacist or supporting slavery or some such nonsense. Hopefully through this report, black people's contributions will be more widely acknowledged, recognised and validated. What contributions have black people made to Britain from further back than 70 years ago? What contributions? Where are these black architects from the 15th century? You know, Queen Victoria actually sent back any blacks that were actually here. There were complaints that, and they called them blackamoors at the time. There were complaints that there were these blackamoors in the country, and it might be that they would be taking the jobs of the British people. And she sent them all back to Barbados or Jamaica or somewhere like that. And it really didn't take many ships to send them back, but she did. And that just shows you that the country was white from Queen Victoria onwards, right up until 1948, when the Windrush arrived. And we did have some non-whites at ports that worked on the ships, but they would be living in the port for a while, and then they'd get on the ship and they'd go off to India, or they'd go off to Africa or wherever. They were just living in these port towns. They certainly weren't architects or composers or scientists or had anything to do with the building of the civilization that we have in Britain. The only way that they can try to insert these people into our history is if they start claiming that some of these white people were actually black, which is what they often do with the Carthaginians and the white people from North Africa in Roman times. They would try and say that they were actually black because they're from Africa. It was only a matter of years ago that the West observed ISIS destruction of many of the historic monuments of the Middle East in horror and condemnation, recalled Ben Harris Quinney, chairman of Britain's oldest conservative think tank, the Bow Group, in comments to Breitbart London. And this is something that we've been pointing out here at Radio Albion right the way back since the Daily Traditionalist. We were pointing out the similarity between what ISIS were doing out there in the Middle East, tearing down these representations of old white civilizations, Roman temples and what have you that they're pulling down, and comparing that to Black Lives Matter in America, pulling down statues of the South, pulling down representations of the white heroes from the South of that country. And we were pointing this out then. And then lo and behold, 3 or 4 years later, we see the same thing happening in Britain, and they're pulling down statues of Edward Colston. They're defacing Queen Victoria, defacing Winston Churchill. And we were warning about this years ago. And it is the same as the mentality of ISIS, that just want to destroy everything that is representative of the people that were there before them. Today, we are happily engaged in the destruction of our own history, Harris Quinney lamented. The fundamental misunderstanding made in this process comes from the very recent conception that history and its figures are unacceptable if they don't conform to the social mores of the current year. It is a tragic misunderstanding of what history is. Many monuments, like statues, are not just historic because of the people they portray, but they are a part of history themselves, reflecting the desire of the people of the time to memorialize movements and individuals of significance, he explained. And this is the point. They represent the fact that people back then, when they put this statue up, they wanted that statue to be put up. And that's why it is there as a part of history, to tell us our people really supported these figures. They wanted the statue to be put up of them. If you then go putting a plaque there saying, oh, well, these were the bad guys, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Why would our people want to be putting up statues of bad guys? It makes a mockery of history to be doing this. He continues, it comes as no surprise, therefore, that when given the courtesy of being asked, the vast majority of the British public do not want monuments to be torn down or even altered slightly. It is a tiny minority of metropolitan liberals who want to project their bizarre and destructive worldview on the rest of us. Whether it is via the government, the National Trust, or the local council, the British public do not want their history removed, or even plaques placed to patronisingly describe how terrible it was. It is one of the very first things that, once destroyed, no amount of money can replace. History should simply be preserved, and all should be free to draw their own conclusions about the merits of its ideas and its protagonists. And the really sad thing about this is that the National Trust is supposed to be there to preserve our history, the same as English Heritage, and the same as these museums. They were set up to preserve our history, and now they are the very people having these inquiries, looking into whether we should change it, whether we should pretend that our history was not our history and replace it with somebody else's history. And just think of the word itself, his story. It's our story, not their story. It's not going to correspond to their story because it's our story. It's his story. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.